Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 8 and work our way down to verse 14. In our passage here, Paul is speaking to believers. This letter is written to you that believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us children of light at the end of verse 8. We're called children of light. And we're made children of light by the work that our Savior performs in us. It's His work. And He does this work through regeneration, by giving us life by His Holy Spirit. And He works in us a belief of the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is a gift of God, and it's fixed looking to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, to the exclusion of all other hopes. And so, speaking of the children of light, it should be well known and understood by us who our light is. Our light is the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that He's the one that reveals God to us. We that know God and have fellowship with Him and trust Him and believe Him do so by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And He's speaking of spiritual sight, that sight by the faith which He reveals in the hearts of His people. And so Christ is the light of God to His people. He's our light in the first hour. He's our light in every hour. Paul said to the Corinthians in his second epistle, he said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And He'll be our light not only continually here, but for all eternity. All eternity, Christ is the light of His people. It says in Revelation 21:23, "The city, which is the New Jerusalem, which is the church of Christ, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Our Savior, the Lamb of God, is our light, now and forever. I titled this message, "Christ, Our Light." Christ, our light. And we'll see how that He bears witness to Himself of His salvation in His people. He reveals Himself to His people, and the light of Christ instructs us, reproves us, teaches us all our days. So let's begin here. The first thing I want you to know is that our Lord bears witness of His light. And He bears this witness in His people. And then He uses His people to further bear testimony, to bear witness of the light of Christ. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So we see here, Christ is declaring and confirming to us that He is the light of His people, and He is the one that reveals God to us. Christ is the one that gives us understanding and knowledge of the things of God, to discern, to rightly discern and judge, have a sense of who God is and who we are and our great need of his mercy and grace and salvation provided freely in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Lord promises to all them that believe that we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That light of life is Christ shining in you. It's Christ bearing witness of his glory, of himself, of his salvation in you, believer. You have the light of life, and it's Jesus Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. He's revealing to you that he is life, that he is the very salvation of God for his people. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4 and 5 first. In him, this is speaking of the Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Before Christ comes to a sinner, that sinner is dead in trespasses and sins. All men are sinners. We're all sinners. We all come forth dead in trespasses and sins. We have no light. We have no understanding of who the true and living God is or how we are to approach him. We have no understanding of his true righteousness. And left to ourselves, we'll never comprehend the light of God. We'll never understand who salvation is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ must come to the sinner and reveal himself. Otherwise, we're left in utter ignorance and darkness to our God and to his salvation of his people. Look at verse 9, John 1, 9. This true light that's spoken of here is Christ, that he was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Christ is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And what the Lord is teaching us is you that have this life, you that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that light and have that life by Jesus Christ. There is no other light available to man. Any man that comes into the world that has this light and knows who the salvation of God is has it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no other ways or means of salvation. Nothing. It's by Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying there. This light that we have, Christ alone is the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's it. If you have light, it's by Jesus Christ. And hold your place in John. And let's go over to Ephesians 5 now. And look at verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Paul says, you were sometimes darkness. You were dead in trespasses and sins and having no light or fellowship with God. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As children of light, we bear witness to, we bear the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his light which is shining in us and revealing the truth of God to us. We're bearing that light. We're bearing that witness and testimony. And so Christ's children bear this testimony, and we have examples of it in Scripture. First, we see the plain declaration of John the Baptist. Turn back to John 1. John 1, verses 6 through 8. Where John is explicitly declaring Christ to the people, bearing witness to him. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That was the purpose of John's coming, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so this confirms to us that the Lord is pleased to use people, to raise up servants, to teach his people and use his people to bear witness of his light, to bear witness of Christ unto others. Now look at John chapter 5. John 5, verse 33 and 34. Christ is speaking to the Jews there, and he said, "You sent unto John, you went out after him looking for him and to ask him questions and to hear what he had to say, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved." In other words, I'm showing my works in my servants. I'm revealing myself to them. I'm revealing my testimony to them that you might look there and hear what they're saying and see the testimony and the fruits of my works in those whom I send. We see this of Paul as well. In Acts 13, verse 47, Paul is moved to say, "For so hath the Lord commanded us," Barnabas and Paul, "saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And so what he's doing is saying, I've given my light, the light of Christ, the testimony and the witness of Christ, to bear that candle on the candlestick and to shine it forth, that the ends of the earth would see and behold Christ, that they would see and hear this testimony of Christ. Moreover, the Spirit who regenerates the child of God bears witness in his children by his fruit. By his fruit. Go back to Ephesians 5 now. Ephesians 5 and verse 9. He says there, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And that's describing, more than anything, it's describing the source of our fruit. That this fruit that we bear is not done in works of the flesh, according to fleshly religion and hard work and labor by us. But it's born in us. The source of that fruit is the Spirit. It's the Spirit's fruit that's born in us. And then if you look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and there's other places, but we see what some of that fruit looks like, how that fruit of the Spirit, which it comes from the Spirit, is manifested in his people. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against these fruits, there's no law. The child of God is righteous in the Lord. And the Spirit bears these fruits. There's nothing to say against these fruits. And so these fruits are born in us as he grows us. And as he's growing us, we see these fruits more evidently shine forth as the Lord is teaching us and bringing us to have to bear these fruits in the midst of one another, in the midst of his people. But it is a patient walk of faith. And we are always learning. The Lord is always teaching us by his mercy and his grace. It's a true walk of faith where these fruits are revealed in the Lord's people in the body. In the body and the fellowship of Christ, where these fruits are made useful to one another, for us to love one another. We love one another in that we glory it together in the same message, that Christ is our salvation. We love one another, and those who believe, as the Lord's revealed his light in us, in Christ. And we joy together when babies are born, when brethren are baptized, when brethren confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the various successes that we have, we joy with one another. And we go through trials and adversity together. And as we go through these trials and adversity, the Lord teaches us how to be at peace with one another, how to be gentle with one another, how to bear long and to be long-suffering with one another as he's teaching each of us, trusting that he loves our brethren and is gracious and kind to them as well. And so we learn these things. And so I started the point saying that I want you to know that our Lord bears witness of his light in his people. He bears witness of himself in his people, and he uses his people to bear witness of the Lord, our light and our glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. And that's done in declaring the gospel of Christ, as well as his working, bearing these fruits in us by his Spirit. It bears witness that we are the Lord's, that we believe him and trust him and know him. Next thing that we see is that the witness of the light of Christ in us, it's not just for others to hear and see. It certainly does have that effect where others see the work of Christ in us, but this witness is also for us. It's also a comfort and a help to us that see what the Lord is doing. That is, that we would understand his will and purpose as he's revealing himself graciously to us more and more. Paul says there in Ephesians 5, verse 9 again, and then verse 10, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And so, as members of Christ's body who are receiving and hearing and having the witness of Christ ministered to us, we grow and increase in that knowledge and understanding of our God by the light of Christ, and he's laying this understanding to our heart. He's growing us in our understanding because we're seeing more and more that we need him. We desperately need him. We have things revealed and shown to us, weaknesses in ourselves and sins in ourselves and faults in ourselves that the Lord makes known to us in time as we walk through this faith, and we see how gracious and kind, how gentle, how tender he is with us, that we might also be tender and kind and forgiving with one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so our Lord's ministering this word to our hearts, and he's giving it to us by faith, as Habakkuk 2:4 says, that the just shall live by his faith, the faith that God has given to us. And so we see this abundance of grace that our God shows to us over and over and over again, so that we begin to not only recognize it, but be made willing to minister that grace to others, the grace that has been shown to us, the patience shown to us, the long-suffering shown to us, the gentleness shown to us. Even as we saw a couple weeks ago, where that's how we minister grace to the hearers. We're simply bearing the fruits of that graciousness of our God shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're speaking of and declaring his mercy and kindness to us, that's edifying our brethren. As we're learning to speak gently in order to turn away wrath and be willing to humble ourselves before our brethren and one another in that manner, that that Christ may be heard, and that grace that we've been given would be ministered and sown to their hearts, and they be edified as well. And that's the service that's acceptable unto the Lord. Turn over to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 13, and I'll show you a couple of scriptures there that show us what God is well pleased with. Hebrews 13, we'll start first in verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He's pleased with that gentle growth in ministering, giving thanks and service to the people of God. Giving thanks unto God and serving the people of God. Then down in verses 20 and 21, 20 and 21, Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, Christ is making his witness known in our hearts. He's making in bearing witness and testimony to us, he's making known to us the will of God. He's making known to us what is pleasing, well-pleasing unto the Father, that we would work that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That's not by the strength of this flesh. It's through the ministration of the Spirit working grace in our hearts and teaching us what pleases him well and how to serve and love one another in a manner that doesn't grieve the Spirit, but rather is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so he makes his child to see what does please him, and he also makes his children to see and know what does not please him. He makes us to see that the evil and sinful works that this flesh lusts to do, how that they are not edifying, how that they are not well-pleasing to the Lord, and he turns his people from those things. That's what Paul's saying back in Ephesians 5, verses 11 and 12. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And that brings us to our final point here. It's the light that reproves. The light that reproves. Paul says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I was asking the question, well, how do we reprove the unfruitful works of darkness? We know how it was done in the past, or how we would handle things and how religion handles things by looking for people doing things that they don't think they should do and straightly charging them and pointing them out and pointing out their faults in that manner, to reprove them in that way. But how do we, the children of light, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness? Well, we see Paul and the apostles, how they reproved it. They reproved the unfruitful works of darkness by preaching Christ and him crucified. They went about declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. They declared the Lord Jesus Christ, the very hope of Jesus Christ condemns all other hopes. Do you know that? The very declaration, the very hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, just making that known, condemns all other hopes. It renders them all foolishness. It says, he's salvation alone. He's all that the Father requires. He's all that the Father accepts. We are received in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means all my works, all my beliefs, all my mannerisms in religion are vain and worthless. All other hopes are condemned in the hope of Jesus Christ. We reprove the works of darkness simply by trusting, believing, declaring Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so the hearer, if he's Christ's and he's one of our Lord's lost sheep, he'll receive that testimony. He'll receive it and believe it, and the Lord will bring him out of his darkness, out of that condemnation, out of that bondage and shackle to sin or religion, whatever he's the servant of. He'll come out of that darkness into the light of Christ and believe him, confessing him. As it says in John 3:21, when we do come into the light, we confess God has wrought this in me. This is the work of the Lord. Praise, glory to his name. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for me. And so we preach that Jesus Christ is the believer's justification. We're declaring he's our sanctification, because God has made Christ unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is everything to the believer. It's the Spirit that's done that work in us. And so that's our witness. That's our testimony, which destroys all other hopes that man or this flesh has. Just annihilates them just by preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, just by reminding ourselves who he is and what he's accomplished. It destroys all the vain imaginations that rise up in our thoughts and minds that come against the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how they're brought down by that same gospel hope, that they are reproved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here in our text in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so even we ourselves are reproved by the Lord Jesus Christ in his grace. He is the light, and he's making manifest to us the secrets of our hearts. He's showing us the things that no man can trust in or hope in. And he's showing us himself, who is the hope and the confidence of his people, that will never be ashamed or confounded who believe on him. And when he makes a thing known to us, even if it is sin, even if it is something that we ought not to do, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Because he's making us to know our need. He's bringing us low in self to be needy of his grace, that we would find all our hope in him and find it nowhere else. And he brings us to seek for his grace, to feel and to know and to see the ministration of his grace, that when we go out in faith, walking and doing the things that he providentially brings in our life, we then are become ministers of that same grace that he's shown to us. And when we forget, he'll reprove us and bring us back to a knowledge of him again, and to say, didn't I show you grace and mercy? Ought you not therefore to show grace and mercy to that other? And so he does that, all in his power and glory. And so we're then being made we then begin to bear witness of the grace of our God and to show that same testimony to others that he's shown unto us. And so all of the children of light, all of us are sinners saved, and we're learning that continually. First we know it doctrinally. We know the truth of it, but he makes us to know it, that in reality, that we are sinners who are saved by the grace and mercy of our God. And so He's reproving in us all those things that war against the light of Christ. The lusts of this flesh, which war against the soul. He reproves those things in his people. And so all are saved by the blood of Christ. And being saved, he brings his people into local assemblies, local bodies, where they hear that gospel word, where they hear Christ being ministered to their hearts. And it's Christ that is teaching his sheep the gospel. It's Christ that's ministering his grace to our hearts. It's Christ that's growing us in the fellowship, where we're bearing those fruits among one another. And it's Christ that's reproving and correcting us in the things that we have need of being reproved of. He makes us to know it and to believe him and to trust him, to believe him in it. And so unbelievers are also reproved by the gospel. They hear their works being destroyed and put down, and without the light of Christ, they get angry. But Paul said at the end of verse 13, it's Christ that shall give thee light. And if he doesn't give light, they'll hang on to that lie and keep believing the lie. So believers, though, are always blessed. When Christ reproves, we're always blessed by his reproving, because his grace is edifying. It's teaching us. It's growing us in the things that we have need of learning and hearing. Whether that's a comforting word in the gospel or it's a reproving word in the gospel. And so the children of light are blessed of Christ. Just as Paul says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Remember, these are children of light that he's writing to. He's not writing to unbelievers when he's saying this. He's writing to us who believe, who have heard and believe Christ. And we see that Christ does this for us. He wakes us from death in the first hour, and he wakes us out of our sleep every hour. When we forget and our way grows dim and dark and we go off into our own ways, it's Christ that awakes us, that brings us back to him in grace and in mercy, in shining his light that wakes us from our sleep. Now, I remember when I was, I would just say that if I was asleep, I would prefer my mom to wake me than my dad, because when he came, it was just a hard shaking and I would be woken right up. But you know, sometimes it is a gentle shaking and sometimes it's a hard shaking that wakes us up. But it's all by the Lord. It's by the Lord ministering his word unto our hearts. And so we notice there at the end, it's Christ. Just notice that it's Christ who saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. It's not Moses. It's not religion. It's not the flesh. It's not us that do it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that awakes us. He's the one that awakes us. We could charge one another with things, but we don't hear it. But when Christ reproves us, we hear it and we receive it and are blessed by it. So, brethren, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He's the one that bears this fruit, this witness, his light in his people. He's teaching us, reproving us, and growing us faithfully in him. And as he's doing it in you that believe, know that he's doing it in your brethren also. Trust him. Therefore, be gracious and kind and gentle. It will do more than harshness. It'll do a lot more than our harshness that we could give. Christ is able. So I pray you bless that word to your heart, brethren.